10 in Leia, and welcome to this week's edition of Tourism Travel Diaries on ZFM Stereo, my station, your station. And this week, it is just a few days to go before the first ever edition of Sanganai Sanganani World Travel Tourism Expo that is going to be held for the first time in Mutare, the Eastern Highlands. And there are so many activities that are going to happen during this show. And one of them being on Saturday, there is actually going to be a day to, you know, boost up the excitement of Sanganai Sanganani. There's going to be an extravaganza that's going to be held on the streets on the 6th of September. And the other thing that was so remarkable about this is that the National Airline announced last week that it will be starting its flights with return from Harare to Mutare every single day from the 8th to the 14th. The greatest thing about this is that maybe this is the beginning of Zimbabwe actually spreading its wings within the domestic territory and actually pushing for these flights. And also the flights will also be available as well from the Victoria Falls right directly to Mutare. And so that should make traveling easy. And the other fun part is the train is going to be moving from Harare to Mutare. And this is just not an ordinary train, but it shall be launched tomorrow. And yeah, we're excited about that. You know, rail travel was something that was beautiful back in the day, and you got to see a lot of landscapes within Zimbabwe. However, tonight we're going to focus on deliberations from the press conference that was held by the Tourism Business Council in Harare yesterday. And among the topics covered were the performance of the tourism sector from the first 7 months of 2025, a review of the policies, the tourism levies, amongst other issues. And tourism levies, some of them went down, some were scrapped totally. And during this press conference, some of the speakers we had were the Tourism Business Council CEO, Mr. Paul Mutamisi, and also on the panel was Mr. Wengai Nawu, the past president of the Tourism Business Council, and also Mr. Farai Chimba, amongst others, who are part of the different clusters.
The reviewing of tourism levies, license fees, permits, and any regulatory requirements by government is a major issue that in the last week you have seen government going back to review the situation. And in that review, we have seen a situation where we have at least some reprieve for the ease of doing business as well as the cost of doing business. Government, in consultation with the tourism industry through the private sector tourism representative body, which is the Tourism Business Council of Zimbabwe, came up with a raft of measures meant to deepen and broaden the competitiveness of Destination Zimbabwe as a prime destination both for tourists as well as for investment in the country, in this sector. In this regard, government, through a 26th of August 2025 cabinet briefing, took a definitive decision on tourism levies, license fees, permits, and have been weighing down the tourism industry. Importantly, the levies and taxes and permits were slashed between 25% and 50%, with some of the levies actually being dropped out altogether. So, and as industry, we are very glad and very happy with that situation. This is, of course, a very positive development, and the industry applauds government on this strategic move, which should help industry regain some of its competitive leverage. Needless to say, numerous levies, licenses, and permits were a huge albatross on the tourism sector, with the net effect of making Destination Zimbabwe uncompetitive amongst its regional peers. The tourism sector now awaits the full implementation through the necessary legislative frameworks by government in the shortest possible time to allow for the benefits of these pronouncements to bear fruit at operator level. In the midterm, the tourism industry is appealing for government to put lasting measures and solutions that will facilitate the industry to contribute more meaningfully to the gross domestic product beyond the current 12%, with annual foreign currency receipts of $1.2 billion, and create more employment beyond the 30,000 employment figures that we are given. With the target towards our $5 billion economy for the tourism industry by 2030, more investments in the following strategic areas are obviously expected. Road infrastructure is a major issue for the development of tourism, for the growth of tourism. Key tourism enablers that require government's urgent attention include, but not limited to, road infrastructure in tourist heavy routes. Blue Air Victoria Falls Road, for instance, Harare Kariba Road, the Eastern Highlands Roads, and so on. All these are very key and important for the development of tourism. We also want to look at the airports as some of the major infrastructure developments which are required. To facilitate seamless destination connectivity across the country and attract more inbound tourists, TBCZ further appeals to government to invest more in airports, notably in the Eastern Highlands, Masingo, and revive the same in Kariba. And of course, Wange is also not forgotten. Capacitation of Air Zimbabwe with proper equipment is very key and very important. Those airports, without the national airline actually playing its role in terms of connecting people, both within the country, the region, as well internationally, as well as internationally, it's a major issue to consider and make sure that we actually do ourselves right by them being capacitated. Electricity availability. Power infrastructure and generation has been a huge challenge in sustaining operations within the sector due to sometimes rolling power outages. The use of diesel generators to keep the operations running, this comes at a very high cost. As you know, there are huge costs involved with fuel that you have to consider when you're running generators. The tourism bill. The tourism sector applauds government through the Ministry of Tourism and Hospitality Management for the tourism bill, which we as the private sector is currently seized with, meticulously going through its contents and what this entails for the development of the sector is what we are seized with and discussing. The sector encourages government to allow all key stakeholders to make their input into the bill without prejudice so that it reflects the future of the sector. The tourism policy in terms of from 2026 to 2030. The Tourism Business Council congratulates government through the Ministry of Tourism and Hospitality Industry Management on the development and launch of the tourism policy. As industry, we believe that the policy document is progressive and inclusive enough to be a benchmark for investment in the sector for inclusive growth in line with the government's developmental thrust of an upper middle income society by 2030. Introduction of the tourism satellite account, TSA, as you know, to effectively and comprehensively capture the contribution of tourism to the economy. Private sector implores government to invest in the tourism satellite account. This system will enable government and the private sector to capture correctly and accurately the size of the tourism sector and help deepen investments in the various constituents of the sector. We bemoan the current understatement of tourism's contribution to the Zimbabwe economy, as reflected by current official statistics. It is our contention that the industry is actually providing much more than is actually being acknowledged. And hence, it is important to have the means with which we need to assess that contribution. And TSA is said to be one of those key instruments that are used worldwide, not just here in Zimbabwe, but used everywhere else. And it is a system that is actually sponsored by UNWTO. And we believe that we cannot be left behind. We need to be there and be able to compare our business, our worth, with the others correctly and properly, and in the same manner as well. Lastly, as TBC said, we wish to acknowledge the government's consultative approach in coming up with policies and programs, as reflected by our engagement with government and its departments in key economic conversations in the last 5 months of 2025. And particularly here, NDS2, government has engaged industry and has engaged the societies of Zimbabwe effectively. And we're saying this is the way to go. This is where it should always be. And we as tourism business operators, we are very glad that this is the route government has chosen to take, and it should be sustained. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, preparedness, we are being assured that preparedness is there as far as from government side in terms of ZTA. But from business, we are, because we have been actually sourcing space within the Sanganai. So people are buying space and they're going to be there. So we will say that we are actually ready as an industry. We are set up for the this year's event.
Brian, any comment additional to that?
Over and above that, I think what's quite key is some of the enablers like airline access now into Mutare coming through. I think there's going to be a launch of Air Zimbabwe. It does make it much easier for those coming from the more further destinations like Victoria Falls, but also just allows the flow of exhibitors and people participating, like coming to the show. But I think we're fully prepared. This is something that the industry does very often, various trade shows throughout the year, and we're looking forward to a very successful Eastern Highlands show.
Thank you, Stan. I think we all are aware that tourism as an industry, we call it in this order. It's government-led, community-based, and private sector-driven. So that's a tripartite approach where we are in constant and usual engagement and consultation with government, with our stakeholders as community, because we can't afford to leave our communities behind. So in that spirit, we have engaged. It all started with some dynamics or developments that I would say beyond the tourism sector, and different authorities and agencies that would want to make sure they stay afloat. They would then start by introducing different kinds of fees and levies all towards the tourism sector, not entirely only exclusive to the tourism sector. The rest of the economic sectors are also affected with multiple licensing levies. So it was a multi-pronged approach between business and government, discussing how these fees, levies, and other charges would impact on the ease of doing business. So this process has been going on for quite a long time. I do remember way back as 2016, or 2013 actually, when we started the process here at this hotel, and then subsequently there were follow-up processes. At some point we think they've stalled, but as you know, government by its nature, the wheels turn slowly because they need to be sure they manage revenue collection. They need to balance between what they forego and what they're going to get. So it took a long process, a consultative process, and we got to a point that government made a decision that they need to make it. And then that's when it was announced last week. So it has been a very long process of concerted effort to ensure that everybody is included, is consulted, to a point where a decision is made and pronounced without anybody really feeling like they've been hard done. And they were at this point. What we are simply waiting now is the legal administrative work to be done so that they become effective. But yes, if you were to ask me, that's where we are as an industry. Thank you, Stan.
Thank you. If I may, before any other questions, also have...
Maybe I'll check that as well, Stan. Government, central government is the, what I'll say, the apex structure of governance, the apex structure of public sector management. So local government by its nature falls under government. All the ministries, all the government, local government structures, which are your rural district councils, your urban councils, they are governed by the Urban Councils Act and Rural Councils Act. But they then collapse into central government through local government, and then they are represented in government. So I would like to make it very clear that the process that we did includes and captures local government, both rural and urban. And if you are going to look, if you're going to go through the schedule, you can actually see there were some lot of reductions and revisions, in some instances scrapping of some applicable levies and licensing from on local government, on part of local government. Because the point of government is that the primary licensing authority in the case of tourism is Zimbabwe Tourism Authority and the Minister of Tourism. So if there is a spirit of collection of licensing and the mandate to license an operator, it sits with the Minister of Tourism through Zimbabwe Tourism Authority. Any other ministry or a department would only play what is called a supporting or a complementary role. So they will still collect fees, but they'll collect mostly for administrative purposes, and that would mean that's a great reduction. So yes, local government, to answer the question, local government is affected by this, and even other sectors like your broadcasting, your licensing of vehicles, and all others were included and captured in that schedule that was discussed, and that was being included in the revision of those fees. Thank you.
Thank you. One more question from the front here.
Hello, good morning. I'm Monica Chandra, BBC Council of Teachers 3. This is...
Just for clarity, is this Expo Japan?
Yes.
Okay. We are ready. I can take the press part, and maybe my colleague can touch on the budget side. But just on the Expo aspect, it was an opportunity for showcasing the product internationally. Although we were not fully represented in terms of the number of people that participated in this show, we still feel that for those that went through on behalf of tourism, that is the entry into that Asian market that we need to harness over time. So the expos are always good benefit in that, one, they do attract the necessary interest in the destination and showcase it. Number two, potential investment in other hotel groups and other investors coming into the country. So we expect to see some positive returns from it. Judging by what we got from Dubai Expo 2020, we did see quite a bit of interest in investing in the country. We also were able to tap into markets that we generally don't go into. So we do expect positive results from it. And from those that participated, it was an eye-opener as well in terms of just seeing how advanced other areas are and what we can incorporate into our own processes in Zimbabwe. So what's very key about Zimbabwe? I think for some years we ran under the banner the World of Wonders. So we are very cognitive of the fact that we do have multiple wonders in the country. Just as you highlighted, if you look at Great Zimbabwe, 15th century construction, it's the tallest structure outside of the pyramids in Africa. So there's a lot that can be done. And what operators do from a private sector side of things is complement ZTA's efforts and package accordingly. We look at Sanganai being in Eastern Highlands as one of the big stepping stones that government is taking to expose other regions. And as we go forward, our premium destination show is Sanganai. It will rotate amongst the provinces. If I've got it right, we should be heading to Masingo in the next edition. That will also now not only create awareness for the operators, but for the world at large in terms of what we have. So again, it's a two-part government's role, and private sector comes in to enforce and implement what is there.
Can I maybe follow up? Okay. I can direct follow up with that. Let me refer you to our statement on page number 2, when there was mention about airports. There is a point about capacity in Air Zimbabwe with proper equipment. As an industry, we are fully aware. I'm sure you are also aware as colleagues in the media. Air transport is a key enabler to tourism and travel. I remember when I started in the tourism sector 30 plus years ago, all those places that you are talking about were high of activity. Around 2000, year 2000, when we had airlines pulling out of the country for various reasons, conversation for another day. That affected and impacted the destination Zimbabwe as it were. What you are seeing today in Zimbabwe, in Victoria Falls, as traffic, that is very well and very, very well positive, I must say, is an aspect of Vic Falls being more readily accessible, because there is a very good connection between Victoria Falls and the major source markets from South Africa, through Southern Africa, East Africa, Ethiopia, Addis, and also Kenya. So we never can underestimate the impact of air transport and air travel vis-a-vis development of tourism. So in that regard, this is why we are really applauding the government for what they've done to move Sanganai to the Eastern Highlands. That will give an opportunity for people to rediscover. This destination was there before, but because of the accessibility, have been affected. And this is exactly what we are now trying to do, as we agreed, private sector driven, government led. Government is leading in terms of policy formulation. We are complementing government's role by ensuring that every destination is back on the map of Zimbabwe. It's a matter of time. What we need to also do is that, when you talk of tourism and travel, is the number of bed nights that matter in a destination. We are spending an average of 3.5 nights per visit in terms of our tourism coming in here, especially the international tourists. And if we were to go back in the 30 plus years ago, the average bed nights in Harare, in Zimbabwe, were 10 plus nights, because people were going around the country on circuits. Kariba, Wange, Vic Falls, and then in Great Zimbabwe, Matopos, Eastern Highlands, and then end up in Harare. Fly in Harare, fly out of Victoria Falls. So we are now, we got to a point where Zimbabwe was now packaged as an extension of a destination within the region. But we are fast and gradually regaining our position as a prime destination with the increase. At some point, we're talking of 2 nights. We are now talking of 3.5 to 4 nights. And it's a matter of time before we start getting 4, 5 plus nights. And then, of course, distributed around the country. There's a lot of traffic arrivals in Harare as we speak, connecting with the north and east of the country in terms of tourism. It's just that it doesn't get recorded. Hence the reason we are talking about, in the last part of the section, it was mentioned about the satellite account, tourism satellite account. If we were to capture the number of leisure travelers that comes into Harare Airport, you'll be very surprised that there is indeed tourism just outside of Victoria Falls. So yes, there is. We are rebounding as a tourism center, and we are going to get all our markets back again into the different parts of the country. Maybe to respond on the budget issue. Yes, there is consultations about the budget, on the budget, the 2026 budget, that is due in November. There's been a couple of meetings so far already as the consultative process are going on, and we believe there's going to be another round of consultation around this month and next month before the final pronouncement of the budget is made. But we also may need to know there are a lot of other sectors and other industries that really need attention, that really need concessions, that really need inclusion. And we don't always get all the things that we ask for, but the most important thing is we get some that we've asked for. And as we keep engaging government, we'll definitely come to a point where we get almost the things that we want to ensure that our tourism sector comes back on its feet. Thank you.
Thank you.
You can follow up with that, but we're trying to respond to that. Infrastructure is a key enabler of investment. If I, as a tourism investor, like in my case, I'm a tourism operator myself, I have no appetite to invest where there is no sound infrastructure. So I first look at what the government is doing to develop the infrastructure. They've done roads, they've done an airport. Now, it makes sense for me to go and put money in there, because as private sector, we rely basically on private money. Sanganai is upcoming. There is actually an investment conference that I'll be moderating. If you look at the program, I'll be moderating an investment conference. And we are trying to motivate, because we would like to get cheaper sources of financing, medium to long term, for the tourism sector, because by its nature, the tourism sector is you don't recoup your investments in a short space of time. So what works is medium to long term tenure of financing. So we are trying to bring up different players in investment financing, particularly targeting pension funds, to come in and play the leading role in terms of financing, private sector financing. Government is doing the infrastructure, major infrastructure work. As tourism, our mandate is the amenities, the hotels, and the ground logistics that enables movement of tourists. That requires capital. So we can't go on the market as we speak today because the interest rates are not very favorable. That's why we are now trying to find another model, but that is possibly within reach. To be honest with you, the interest rates, some of them where they are at the moment, do not really encourage borrowing, considering you are talking of US dollar interest, interest on the US dollar currency, which has very low inflation. That doesn't make it any easy to borrow. So yes, we are looking at other models, and then that will dovetail into the development of other amenities within the tourism sector. Then yes, that will be an investment on a gradual basis.
Thank you.
Can I just add something there as well? In terms of our investment, government investment, we'd like to see something being done strongly with the railways. Because if you look at our roads, the way they've gone, the dilapidation that has taken place over the last few years, it's because of the main heavy traffic that is actually passing through our roads and going to up north and down south. Now, when we say we want railways to come to play a role here, so that the cartage of heavy equipment, heavy goods and so on should really be taken care of by the railways. And it can only happen if the railways are also functional. If they're not functional, obviously there's a problem there. So
this has been an edition of Tourism Travel Diaries with ZFM Stereo. My name is Sitenin Lea Umandazi, and I'm so excited that next week we're going to have this show live and direct in the Eastern Highlands, as we are going to be participating at the Sanganai Hlanganani World Travel Tourism Expo, which is hosted by the Zimbabwe Tourism Authority in partnership, or rather, by the Ministry of Tourism in partnership with the Zimbabwe Tourism Authority. So hopefully we will see you there at the Makomo Woye. And we're excited, especially for... It's going to be jam-packed with a lot of activities. And one of the key highlights is going to be the beach party that will be hosted at Bechnaf Bridge. Well, it's going to be my first time there. So I hope to see you there, and make sure you take time to think where your next destination in Zimbabwe is. And yes, see you there.